minutes left.
Okay, here we go. So, yeah, obviously, things are going to be a little different today. I probably put it somewhere in the title. Unfortunately, this is going to be a solo episode. And I've never really done this before by myself, so I hope you guys like it. If you don't, I don't really know what the fuck to tell you, because this isn't like, I didn't do this because I was like, oh, I just feel like doing one by myself. I couldn't get anyone on this episode. There were two separate people. I texted one, the guy in the previous episode. I texted him at the wrong time. I had a long day. Basically, just was too tired to do it. The other guy was the guy that I said, Red, if you remember, was the guy that I said I was going to try to get on the next episode so that it didn't feel like we were just talking shit without, you know, him being there. Obviously, that was a really long time ago. That was like the 10th of last month or the 11th or some shit like that. My apologies. Which, if it was the 11th, that was really bad timing. And Blue, he's living his life. I mean, I don't know what I can say there. I will still continue my promise. This is me trying to continue my promise and get you more than one episode before Halloween. I'm still going to try my very, very fucking hardest to get him on an episode by Halloween, or at the very least, Halloween Day. And yeah, I just want to start it by saying a few things. I appreciate all those people who, it seemingly, from my point of view, it seems like you guys kind of waiting for us to upload again, and we all seriously appreciate it. And the guy from last episode really appreciates all the love and support that you've been showing, you know, a new member to the podcast. First things first, there was another separate podcast named Universe 6 who sent me an invite to join one of their podcast episodes, but there's some type of glitch going on. I can't actually access your notifications, so I don't get them. I only saw it because I clicked on the thing and I realized I wasn't getting notifications. So my apologies for all that. We weren't like being Hollywood or anything. We weren't ignoring you. We just didn't see it. If you really would like to collaborate, I'll leave some type of socials so that you can get in touch with at least one of us at the very end of that. Shout out to the homie in Jordan. Always got to do that. Today, I'm going to try to keep it like streamlined like we usually do, but it's not going to be as streamlined. Obviously, it never really is. But I'm going to talk about a lot of Halloween-esque things, but I also have to get a few things off my chest before I this is completely unrelated to anything, but if you've ever gone to SeaWorld, work at SeaWorld, or are considering going to SeaWorld, do not ever. If you work there, quit. If you want to go there, don't. If you have been there, do not ever go again. That's a crazy statement, I guess, maybe to some, but if you understand the history of SeaWorld, you know. And if you do not know the full history of SeaWorld, I highly suggest you research it. And if you don't feel like it, then depending on how this episode does, I may or may not be doing sort of my own separate episodes with different types of topics other than, I guess, comic books or fights or what else have we done? Story times, I guess. I don't know. Like we've said before, this podcast isn't really designated to one thing. It's anything we really fucking feel like. So if you are completely open to listening to me talk about whatever I feel like talking about it that day, then thank you. And it may or may not be a possibility in the future, depending on how this episode does. Another thing I just wanted to say before I get into a lot of the shit. I feel like this is something that has to be said, but if you are someone who is easily persuaded, I'm just going to kindly suggest that for future notice, you do your own I guess what I'm trying to say is don't believe every single thing you hear or see or read on the internet. I'm not your fucking father, so I can't dictate what you do. I probably don't have to even tell you this, but I've been learning a lot of stuff that I really feel like this is an American thing, but I've been learning a lot of stuff that I really feel like should have been taught to me throughout school that they blatantly changed the history of or kept out of teaching for whatever reason that may be. We're not going to get into that here, but just try to make your own opinions. I don't ever want you to come into these and take any of our words for that is exactly how it is. These are just opinions. That's what this podcast is. It is a bunch of friends who like to come onto the internet and speak their opinions. Now, we may have factual evidence to back these things up, but even then, I suggest that you do your own research. Don't just believe shit at face value. That's a very poor way of living your life. Like I said, I'm not your father, but that's my opinion. Okay. What should we start with? Okay, I guess I'm going to start with the most recent thing. I haven't gotten a chance to talk to this to a lot of people, so I've talked to it to myself, to you guys, technically. I don't know. Halloween ends. I really hope a lot of you have seen this, so I'm not just spoiling it for the majority of you guys. But I really need to talk about this fucking movie, man, and the current state of remakes, because there is a Friday the 13th supposedly in the works for 2023, and I was looking forward to it. If you don't know, or if you do, Jason Voorhees is my favorite of the slasher groups. I like a lot of them, most of them, but he's my favorite, and not far behind that is Michael Myers and Leatherface and Chucky. But the Chucky series isn't technically a remake, but I still do kind of have something to say about that. First things first, I guess we'll just start with my opinions on the movie. I mean, I don't think anybody's really like, it was really bad, man. It was really fucking bad. Like, it was not at all what I guess most of the fan base wanted it to be. And I kind of feel that way too. But at the same time, with a lot of these personal project movies, I guess it's also kind of fair to say that it's not our shit. It's the person who made it. It's their project. It's their version of art. So while we are entitled to our opinions, we cannot really blame them for doing what they want with their franchise. But this one was just a major letdown. Especially considering how the last one ended, it felt like they were finally starting to come back into it and really grasp what makes Michael Myers so badass, I guess. He was the embodiment of evil. And I guess you can still kind of say he kind of still is in this one, but I wouldn't, honestly. Corey. Now, my opinions on Corey at first. So the movie, if you have seen it, you'll know where I'm going with this. If you have not seen it, spoiler warnings. I'm sure I put that somewhere in the description of this episode. There's a lot of the shit that I have to cover in the description, so I don't know how much I'll be able to save you guys from. Hopefully, if you didn't want to hear any of this, I can save you from the entire experience. But at first, I was kind of, I guess I kind of liked the direction that they were going into, how it opens with, instead of the kid killing the babysitter, it's the other way around, and it's showing like how thoroughly the evil of Michael Myers has spread throughout the entire town. I mean, there's shit happening left and right. And I really liked the direction. I was kind of hoping, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of hoping that this wouldn't be like a definitive end to Halloween. I was maybe hoping, I was at the very least, maybe this is an end to Michael Myers, but not the end of Halloween itself. But no, this is an end to both. And it was really sad. Just, it was like witnessing an old dog being put down. Corey starts off, he's all right, I guess. I will say this though, that entire like love plot, it shouldn't have been there. I mean, the fact that she falls in love with this disheveled, dirty, filthy guy, which I'm not saying like that is what Corey is, I'm saying like in the point, there's a scene where he's taken to the hospital. He was dirty, I think he was bloody. She falls in love with him at first sight, which she only sees like the side of his face when it starts to like show you that she's falling in love, which is something I find hilarious. Not saying that that's not like that love at first sight isn't something that happens. I'm just saying the way that they made it seem was very, following the tone of this movie, it was very goofy, but not in a scary movie kind of goofy where it's supposed to be bad. It was more or less just bad. And there was really no need. She's very, which I'm not a fucking female, so I don't know, like I can't really say too much about how females should act or act, but she was very bold considering the rumors that I had been spread about this guy. I mean, logically, I just don't think that any person in their right mind is going to go to someone who supposedly killed a kid, which obviously I'm saying supposedly because he got off. It was found out to be an accident, but most of the town still, you know, calls him, I can't remember exactly what they call him, but it's like, one of the fucking band kids calls him a pedo. The other kid calls him a kid killer, some shit like that. Most of the people in the town, I think he even gets fired from his job. Most of the people in the town think that he killed this kid intentionally. And if I am the granddaughter of Laurie Strode, someone who's been haunted by evil for years, I don't think I would ever see someone who has a case as brutal as killing a kid, which, may I just add, the way that the kid dies is really fucking funny. Like, I'm not trying to be that guy, but he kicks the door off the fucking hinges, it smacks the kid in the face, and he goes tumbling over like two flights of fucking stairs. What the fuck is that? How much fucking force does that guy have behind his legs? It's incredible. But honestly, now that I say it, I guess that was kind of like an introduction to sort of the kind of camp that would be going on in this movie. So I should have been more prepared for a lot of it, but it was campier than I guess you could have put up with. It was extremely fucking campy for no reason. And I hear the main arguments as to why this is bad is because of, well, the portrayal of Michael Myers. It's not his movie. He's only really doing Michael Myers things in the last 20 minutes of the movie, I think. I mean, unless you want to count the time that he helps Corey kill in the sewers, which I wouldn't count that as something Michael Myers would do. I will say though, really quickly, I really like the scene where Corey is wearing the scarecrow mask and he's at that one lady's house, and he's fucking, I think he's killed her coworker, which I'm not gonna get too much into their relationship. It seems kind of fucking funky, which I'm obviously, if you guys couldn't tell, the people of this podcast are not, you guys are a lot older than us, which I'll get into later in a whole different side of this when I stop talking about these movies. You guys are usually 7 to 6 years older than us. We are all adults. We are all legal adults, but you guys are seemingly a good portion older than us. And I'm not sure if that's something that just happens when you get to those certain ages. Yeah, I'm not saying that's like a good or appropriate thing to be going on, but it seemed like it was portrayed as like a normal thing, which is really fucking gross to me. Because this guy's like, I don't know, he's like fucking 50 something. He's got, I think, full white hair. He's got a beer gut or some shit. And she looks like she's at like around your guys' age. She looks like she can't be nothing but like in her early 30s, I think. I don't know. And so Corey kills the guy and he gets his hand stuck in the door, I think. Yeah, he gets his hand stuck in the door. I think she closes it or something. I don't know. I haven't watched this in 3 days. I probably should have rewatched it, but like I said before, I wasn't expecting to have to do this episode alone. So forgive me on like the stutters, the awkwardness, or the misinformation, because I usually have somebody here that remembers what I cannot remember. I can't remember every single fucking thing. I have like short-term memory loss or some shit. And I only saw the movie but like 3 days ago. I refuse to rewatch it, right now at least. I will rewatch it eventually and then possibly give like a short, here's my new opinion on the movie, like I do with like UFC or what else did we do? I think it was mostly UFC things where I would come back on a different episode and just briefly touch on it for 10 minutes. But this one, I can't touch right now. It's very bad. And Michael is somewhere in the house. It's like a closet or something. I can't really describe it. Because they go from like a living room sort of area where Corey is stuck on the other side. And I can't even remember if that's his actual name. I might be getting that completely wrong. Which, if I am, my apologies. I believe his name is Corey. He does some Michael shit. He slowly slides the door open. And I think that right there, that was like one of the highlights. It is sad to say that like a 5 minute, maybe less than that scene was one of the highlights of the movies, just because it showed what could have been. It shows what the potential was instead of the bait and switch that they go for towards the end of it. Which I'll get there. I just, like I said before, I was really hoping that maybe, okay, they've been going on this line where Michael Myers, he does age. They keep saying he's getting older, he's getting older, he's getting older. But they made it a point to say that he was the embodiment of evil. So I was hoping that maybe at the very least, Michael Myers' body gets destroyed or dies, in quotes, whatever you want to say. And his spirit still lives on, which I guess that's technically still a possibility because we don't see Corey's body at the end of it, and he could get a scene in a new or next movie where it's like an OG Michael where he's there 1 minute with the bullet holes in his body and he's gone the next. But as far as I know, this is the last Halloween movie. And see, this is why I need somebody else here to keep me on topic, because it's already been 20 minutes and I probably lost the majority of you already. But I hope you're still here and I hope you're enjoying it so far. Obviously, it's more laid back than usual because I don't have anybody ramping me up. This is, like I said, new for me. But Corey in itself, he's not a horrible character, I guess. He's just not a very likable one up until the Michael Myers shit starts to go on, and then before you can even get a chance to start to like him, he immediately becomes unlikable. And I think you guys are gonna know where I'm going with this, but the sewer scene. I don't understand what the fuck was the thought process of that scene. Maybe you can say something to where it's like, see, I don't really understand this fucking movie, I guess. In parts, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, why did Michael Myers look into this kid's eyes in the first place when he's shown to show little to no remorse? The only remorse that he's ever shown, I believe, is to a fucking infant baby. He's killed a kid before, so I don't really get why he hesitated here to give, like, oh, he looks into his eyes and sees the evil within him, and he sees that he is basically like him. He takes him under his wing. It's just, I guess you could cover it by saying, oh, Michael also knows that his time is expiring, so he understands that he needs a new embodiment of evil, I guess. But to have Corey wrestle this man to the ground and steal the mask from his face, and then just have Michael pretty much doing nothing about it until later on in the movie. Which I don't actually, now that I think about it, I don't remember if he does anything to Corey or not, or if he just gets the mask back from Corey's corpse. Which, yeah, now that I remember, he just takes the mask back from his corpse. He doesn't do anything to Corey, which, like I said before, maybe you could say that's, oh, because Michael has taken Corey under his wing, so he's not really going to do anything to the new him or his own version of a child. But at the same time, it's been shown that Michael really, like, he really needs that mask to function. Like, it's his namesake. And he just kind of lets him boot gang that shit. And slowly walks up to the, it's not the Strode house in this one, is it? I can't remember. Yeah, it's the Strode house. Slowly makes his way to the Strode house for the final 10 minutes or 20 minutes of the movie, where they finally have what the movie was supposed to be, which is the Michael versus Laurie Strode battle. Which, I don't know what the thought process was with that. Why did you market it as the final battle, and this would be the biggest one, this would be the most brutal battle, and it's to last like 20 minutes, and you don't really, like, it's not, it's like artificial tension, if that makes sense, if I'm making any sense through any of this. It's like, sure, you're like, whoa, Laurie could die, or Michael could die, but you also kind of really understand that Michael is more than likely going to be the one to die in this, because they kind of shove it in your face that he's just an old man. He's just an old man in a mask, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, well, if he's no longer the embodiment of evil, then maybe you pass some of that on to Corey. Corey is now kind of lame, so Corey can die. He's not really, it's like a proto Michael. And if he can die, why can this old man in a mask, I say in quotes, not die? Maybe this was just a me thing, but I just feel like most of us weren't really expecting anyone other than Michael to die. I mean, I was hoping Corey wouldn't die just so he can maybe fix this shit and this not be the final chapter to a wonderful story with a horrible ending, but it's not my project. So, I did see an interview, though. Laurie, I don't know the actor's name, unfortunately, but the lady who plays Laurie Strode, she says that it's her movie, which, now that I watched it, yeah, it's not Michael Myers' movie, and I think that that's a big problem with a lot of people. And a lot of people don't like that. I personally, I don't mind it as much. Just, I just wish they didn't treat Michael so disrespectfully. It's a lot of disrespect throughout the whole movie. I don't think they needed to bring him to such a minuscule level so that they could make the other characters feel more badass, because in the one before that, Laurie was just a badass. Michael was the same Michael, if not stronger. Laurie was just, she was also better. And I guess in this one, you can kind of say, well, she's also older, so she hasn't been doing all that extra shit. But it's Laurie Strode. She is the final girl. I don't see why you couldn't have showed that, yeah, she hasn't really done anything to keep practicing, but she still hasn't lost a lot of that kick, which I guess they do show little pieces here and there, where like there's the scene where she's rocking back on the chair. She waited for Corey to go back to the spot that he killed the kid, which how she knew that, I don't fucking know. I guess she realized that, okay, this is the new Michael, so he's going to go back to place of origin where he started, which kind of makes sense. So she disappears on the chair. When he makes, I can't remember what he says, but he makes a threat to her and her granddaughter, and which I just want to say, I was very confused for a good portion of it, because I completely forgot how old she was, the granddaughter, how old she was in the movie that she was in before that. So when I seen her in this one, and there's the first scene with the cop, and he's hitting on her, I was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? This cop is hitting on like a barely legal teen, and he's like in his 30s, but apparently she was older than I thought. She looks pretty much the same though, so my bad for that one. But I completely forgot where I was going with this. Basically, I just wanted to say that there was a lot of things that weren't needed that could have been done better, and overall the movie, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you don't see it. And that's not something you're going to hear me say very often, if ever, for these horror movies or slasher movies, because these are some of my favorite types of cinema. I usually advocate for giving them more money so they can do other things, or maybe try again and do it better. But this one, if you are a super fan of Michael Myers, which I'm not a super duper fan like I've seen most people are, he's like fifth or sixth in my rank of slashers, I suggest you don't watch this, because I've seen for most people it hurts their image of Michael, and they're very disappointed, and that's where I'm at too. So even if you aren't a super duper fan of Michael, just, I wouldn't bother with it. I think the other movie before this is a better send off to the Michael Myers character than this one, because, spoiler warning again, if you haven't seen it, the ending, throw him into trash compactor, into pieces, which, oh my God, I want to say one thing that I remember right now. My apologies for like the sniffs and shit. I don't know why, but when I usually don't speak, so when I talk a lot, I get congested. I don't know. But when I talk a lot, mucus builds up like right in front of my fucking nose, so I can only breathe through my mouth. So if you hear like labored breathing, or like I said, sniffles, it's because of that. But there's a scene that everybody seemingly loves, which I was completely fucking shocked by. It's the scene of the guy who is at the radio station, or maybe he's doing his own podcast. Corey in Michael's mask, he goes, he kills him, he like stabs him in the neck a few times, and then cuts off his tongue. No, he like smashes his face into the counter, and then cuts off his tongue. And his tongue is sitting there rolling around on the, I'm having a blank here. for some reason I can't remember what the fucking the track. And I just wanted to say, there's nothing wrong with liking that, and there's nothing wrong with being able to enjoy a movie no matter, which I guess just goes for the entire movie itself. There's nothing wrong with being able to enjoy a bad movie. At the end of the day, these are all opinions. This is my opinion. You have your opinion. You don't have to even listen to this, like I said. But the effects were fucking horrible. And I hope that my fans, at least, can kind of see where I'm coming from. Those effects were like, if you've ever seen, there was this animation I saw when I was a kid on accident. It was The Simpsons. And it was, what is it called? Something Bart. Basically, I can't remember the name of the movie it's supposed to be a ripoff of. It's a movie like The Strangers in, what is it called? I can't remember. I just watched something on it yesterday. But an arrow breaks through Bart's fucking head, and I don't want to spoil too much, but there's like a part where it's claymation, so it's like stop motion clay. That's what the face structure of that guy kind of looked like. It was like some type of claymation. It reminded me of, if you've ever seen Spy Kids, those weird conglomeration creatures that guy made. It reminded me of that, where it was just, you could see how like shiny plastic it was. It was just, this movie was filled with bad effects, if I'm being honest. The final kill for Michael, you could see that I don't know what I'm fully expecting when I go into these horror movies. They obviously can't be super gory to a certain extent, but I expect them to be at least kind of realistic to an extent. And Michael's head, when it pops, it looks like somebody grabbed a shaved coconut, put fake blood in it, and then shoved it in a meat grinder. And then there's this girl who's trapped behind a fence. This was really fucking stupid, because I was like, okay, maybe she's going to be another Michael as well. Somebody says something about one of the other band kids says something about one of the other band kids being dead, and then she just says, now you're dead too. Which I guess you can kind of be like, well, she didn't really like her friends. You could tell she was kind of like standoffish from the rest of her friend group. But if your head is trapped, like your head is trapped, I mean, like you cannot move, and the rest of your body is underneath a car after you've been like, I guess, run the fuck down. I don't know, because I didn't get to really see it, but I don't think there are many broken bones visible. But she had to have been like, I mean, you guys seen how fucking hard that shit hit her. She was completely immobile, and it was just her head, and even that, it was covered by a fucking fence. I don't think anybody's like, no matter how much disdain you have for somebody else, if you know you only have one chance of survival, and it's the person who's trying to help you, no matter how much you don't like them, if they're trying to save you, and the other person, the only other person around, is trying to fucking murder you, just hit you with a car. I don't think when you see the person who just hit you with a car running up to the person who's trying to save you, I don't think you're just going, you're dead now too. I think at the very least you're saying like, watch out, or at least screaming. Like, I know that that's not much better, but that's like a more realistic response to basically knowing that your death is imminent. I just don't see you kind of pulling a badass one-liner like before you get fucking squashed. And another thing, how was Corey able to cave in her skull like Michael? I get that they were trying to like show like, look, he could be coming more and more like Michael, but they made it a point that Michael is just a human, which kind of really fucks up a lot of the shit that he's been able to take, but we're not gonna talk about that. And he just steps on a shit and like one time just steps on it and it's putty on the ground. And that's extremely unrealistic. It's very hard, which I'm not trying to once again be that guy, but you're not caving in a human skull like that with one stomp, no matter how strong your legs are. It's just usually not happening without some type of supernatural influence, which I guess these are nitpicks on my end, but it's not something that the Halloween franchise is known for. Like they left the lady who got stabbed in the neck from the previous movie, they left her alive, which is really, honestly, realistic. Like, yeah, you could say that, well, she took too much damage, she lost too much blood, but there are many cases of people in really fucking horrible situations, like with rebarb sticking out of their skull or a butcher knife in their skull or things along those lines, where they're still alive for a large portion after that, and some even make it after the surgery and continue to live while it being in a damaged state like this lady was. They're still alive, and Michael didn't kill her. He stabs her in the neck. He puts her down on the ground so that she can watch him stab her husband, or testinize, whatever you want to classify. I mean, it's both technically. And it was like, even when I watched it, I was like, well, she's not dead, is she? Like, that's not an instant death. I don't think that tube was thick enough to really tear enough of the neck. Like, yes, you get a cut to your neck, you are going to be bleeding a lot. But there's a fine line, I guess I'm trying to say, between total blood loss and a large amount of blood loss. And seeing that for the first time, I was like, well, she's not dead 100%. She could still survive that. And I was right. She's survived it. So, it's like, they do some things where it's very accurate and then do other things where it's just like, what the fuck just happened? How did Corey survive slitting his own neck to the point where he was able to like do a little jump scare? If Michael's not evil, how did he look into the eyes of someone else? And it's a lot of bullshit. And I'm gonna try to wrap this up because I've been talking about this fucking movie for 40 minutes now. I don't even think I said this at the beginning, but I want to try to make this a shorter episode because it's just me and I don't like doing a lot of talking. But all in all, if you've been wondering my opinions on the new Halloween Ends, I think it's a something movie, but I don't think it's a horror fan movie. If you are a fan of these movies, if you've been a fan of these movies, if you were like me and you grew up watching these movies, or even if it's just Michael Myers, I really think that this isn't something that you are going to thoroughly enjoy. Maybe you will enjoy it and get a few kicks out of it here and there, but I don't think you will thoroughly enjoy it. And with that being said, I want to move on to, I guess I can do Texas Chainsaw, because that's quick. That was a long time ago that I watched that, so I don't have much to say about it. But the new Texas Chainsaw that was on Netflix, which I really should have covered a while ago. I might be really fucking late to this party, but I haven't seen many people talk about this. I only really have one problem. The characters are actually well known. A few of the characters are really good. Like the guy who gets his fucking face cut, who you think at first is like some fucking sundown town hick, and then yeah, she's like, he's a good guy towards the end. He's just very, what is it? I don't know, because I'm not trying to give bad people excuses, but you can tell that he's a good guy at heart. But the whole the school shooter shit was not needed. I highly suggest that that's like something that you try your very hardest to ignore. If you are an American viewer and you have been in this situation, which I know is a sad thing to say, like a lot of us Americans may have been in a situation like that, or may have been in a situation where it was near us, or have heard about it and it kind of affected us, or maybe a relative was involved in that. I can't really speak for that because I haven't been in one of those situations technically, but I just don't think that was a needed plot, the way that they hammered it home, that was like the only way she survived was that she had that background from that, and that's how she got up again, because she got up because she laid down the first time, or it was some shit like that. It just was really bad, man. The lady, I nobody cares about her. I just want to make that very clear. For these slashers, like Texas Chainsaw, Friday the 13th, Terrifier, since there's a new one coming out, if you survive, it doesn't really matter, because nobody's really there for you. Now, when it comes to like Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or Chucky or Scream, especially, those survivors, those matter. They play huge parts in the story, in the sense of they're more than likely surrounded around a singular person, where it's like the slasher has this fixation with killing this person, but they just can't do it. Those characters matter because that's who the slasher cares about. If you are somebody who's just in the wrong place at the wrong time, like Texas Chainsaw or Friday, and you just so happen to not get killed by said slasher, it's not important. Because at the end of the day, the slasher didn't really care about you, in the sense of like, you were only killed because you were somewhere you weren't supposed to be, or you did something you weren't supposed to do. Like Hellraiser. I really want to talk about that too. You don't matter. So that lady, she didn't matter. How she got chainsawed into midair, thrown, and was still alive to take shotgun shots at Leatherface, beyond me. I don't really want to get too much into like nitpicky shit, but it's just not fucking happening. But overall, I honestly decided to say I liked the. Actually, can I say that? I think these new remakes are kind of all in the same line of bringing the old shit back, cleaning up the visuals, changing up the characters slightly, and then they usually give you shitty characters that you don't really care about. And that's, I know that's something that, if you're not a like deep horror fan, that you don't really notice, but a lot of the earlier characters in these slashers, you really liked them. Like, you wanted them to survive, and now you're just kind of waiting for the slasher to come and get to them. And that's kind of sad. Like, I feel like a movie, especially in these slashers, are 10 times better when you care about these people, when you want these people to survive, and it gets ripped away from you. I think that draws out more emotion in it, instead of just this meat bag is here for Leatherface to show up, or Scream, or Jason. And it's sad that this is something that's been like a constant in these remakes. But overall, I would rate, like, if I had to rate Halloween Ends 0 out of 10, 5.6. And I know that's crazy, but at the same time, it's not. If you've seen the movie, it's also not really that fucking crazy. Like, it's only halfway a good movie, and even then, that's being generous. Texas Chainsaw, 6 out of 10, which is sad for me because I personally, I'm a bigger fan of Michael than I am of Leatherface, although I do know more about like the ins and out of the Leatherface franchise than I do about the Michael Myers franchise, because I'm not gonna lie, 4 of those movies were fucking horrible, and I skipped a lot of them. The Cult, the one where it's just about like these kids or some shit, skip that shit. The one with the horrible mask, skip that shit. I think that's the one with the Cult, actually. Which is that age too low? I watched the Rob Zombie one, which was what. Go watch the Rob Zombie slasher movies, like the ones where Rob Zombie takes over the franchise. Rob Zombie is extremely good, in a sense of he's, I guess he knows how to make that previous sense that you got from these older slashers. He really revives that feeling from them. Usually the characters are all the same streamlined trailer park trash. And that's not like race orientated. Like, it's almost all the characters are just horrible characters. They're just trashy people. But that's like in line for Rob Zombie. So if you don't mind like watching shit like that, I highly suggest that you watch the Rob Zombie remakes. This new Scream, I feel like the only problem that I had with this new Scream was that the killers were very choreographed. And that's kind of not what you want from a Scream. I feel like the whole premises of a Scream movie is like to find out who's behind the mask. And if you kind of already have an idea of who's behind the mask within the first 30 minutes of the movie, it's just not fun. Especially if you don't really give a fuck about the characters. I mean, here's the thing that I've noticed, and I'm glad that my audience is older than me, because that means that a lot of you guys understand where I'm coming from, in the sense of I am a part of a certain generation, but my opinions are sort of an outlier to the majority of my generation. So there's a lot of people who like these characters or love these characters, in the sense of they will make entire social media pages based around these characters when they're horrible characters. And that's not like me shitting on the actors, because these actors, they're usually really good actors. But the part that they're given are just, I really didn't care about Jenna Ortega and the Scream movie. And a lot of people love her from my generation. Like, they're obsessed with her and the role that she played. And honestly, now that I say it out loud, I feel like that's a part of why these things keep going in the direction that they're going. They're pandering to a specific generation that isn't the original generation or generations. It's not the same. Like, there's like 1920 slasher movies and shit like that, but there haven't really been remakes of those types of movies since like the 2010s and 2013s. But the older audience are kind of getting pushed aside for these newer, what is it? I don't know what to specify the, because I am technically, no, I don't want to say too much. I gotta try to keep everybody's ages as secretive as possible for their safety and whatnot. But it's just, it's sad to see. And with that being said, I think this is the perfect time to talk about quickly. Let's talk about the new Chucky. Because this specific generation, which if you know what generation I'm talking about, thank you for not having me fully explain it and me being able to understand it. They fucking love this TV show. And there are a lot of parts that I can really get behind, but there is just a lot of, for lack of a better word, cringy shit going on. It's just a lot of moments that really make me kind of embarrassed to, like, if someone were to walk in on me watching it, which isn't something that, like, it's not something that would ever usually happen to me. I mean, like, watching a slasher movie, depending on how gruesome it is already something that most people would be like, well, I don't want somebody to walk in on the wrong time of the movie and think that I'm this kind of person. It's like, no, I usually don't have that kind of feeling. You walk in on me watching, like, a slasher movie, you walk in on me watching a slasher movie, but, like, Chucky, I, like, there's just so much going on. I just, it's kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, man. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It's just, it's not my art, it's not my project, and Don Mancini, I guess, he says that he wants to appeal to this generation, but I just don't think that was the perfect move for a lot of the major fan base. I mean, I guess, like, okay, you bring in new fans to keep it alive, but some of it just feels like pandering after a while, which I might... I don't know. I don't know how to say all these things without, like, coming off and being like I'm just being, like, that person. But there's just a lot of things that have been happening in these new slashes that don't need to be addressed. They don't need to be pandered into it. Like I said before, like, the school shooting subplot of Texas Chainsaw. And just real quick. This has nothing to do with the fact that, I guess, the main character now is not straight or heterosexual sexuality. I don't care about that. And that was Glenn/Glenda was, like, everybody knows about that character. Like, that's not what I'm upset about. I'm just upset that, I guess, it's so very campy. All of it's very campy now. Like, hold on. 60 minutes, keep an eye on the clock. Segments, wait, am I recording a segment? Oh, shit. I hope this is an episode. I have a warning that says that the maximum recording time for a segment is 60 minutes. Keep an eye on the clock. So I have no idea if this even turns into an actual fucking episode or not, which I really hope it does. But I might have just pressed the wrong shit. I've never done a self-recording, so I've never had this problem before. But I'm just going to move on because I feel like I'm going in circles and I don't have much time left. I'm at the 53 mark out of 60 minutes. I want to quickly do some momentary shout-outs because the new analytics are kind of crazy. And I'm sorry that you've had to go through me just fucking rambling. I promise that these other episodes that end up having to have me be... Hold on. It just got hot as fuck. But the more that I have to do these solo episodes, I will do better at these, I promise. They will be more streamlined than this, but I hope you enjoyed so far. Our new percentage... Our percentage before, it was like, I don't think we've ever said it, but the majority of you guys who are listening, which we have said before, it was female, and you guys were, like I said before, at the least 7 years older, if not 10 years older, which maybe we don't sound our age, so maybe you guys think we're older than we are, maybe you guys think we're younger than we are. Who the fuck knows how old you guys think we are? Maybe you don't care. Maybe you just like listening to our opinions. But it is now a kind of 50-50 split, which it was not that before. There was only like 13% of you that were guys. And now the majority is male with a 54%. And the age range is 23 to 27. So to give my own age away somewhat, you're still just a bit older than us, but it is what it is. And for the females, it's 46%, and the age range is still pretty much the same. No, actually, the age range is older now, 28 to 34. So I just want to stop and ask you a question for the females out there, which I'm sure that most of these females that are listening to us aren't from the U.S. You're like, you like this shit? Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. You like listening to this shit? Because a lot of you are reoccurring listeners. And especially shout out to the homie from Jordan. But it's just a question I think you should ask yourself. I do want to make a shout out to specific places, because being a group that is all, every single member is from the U.S., every single member is generally in the same area. We all live at the very least of like an hour or so away from each other. The maximum is like an hour for most of us. And it feels really good to see that our product is getting out to all of these places and you guys are enjoying it, because we're dumb Americans. So what the fuck do we know about other places around the world, especially like the European nations? But it's amazing to see that we have audience elsewhere and that we aren't just talking to a specifically American crowd. But quickly, shout out to everyone in Germany, I fuck with Germany. Thailand, shout out to homie from Jordan. Malaysia, which was wild to me. Libya, which I didn't even know fucking existed. I'm just gonna be real with you. UK, I'm not gonna lie, fuck you niggas. Come on, bro. Brazil, Poland, Uganda. Yeah. All right, I'm not. To love Turkey, Vietnam, Mexico, Puerto Rico, South Africa, Kenya. Come on, bro. Japan. Shout out to the niggas in Japan, bro. Seriously, that's crazy. Italy, Colombia, and France. I don't know. I'm not gonna say that yet. But it seems that most of you guys aren't actually listening to us from Anchor. Most of you are listening to us from like a web browser or an Apple Podcast or something completely different. So that means that you guys are actually looking us up or that you favorited this podcast so that you can listen to it. And I think that's amazing. I couldn't thank you enough for putting any sort of effort into listening to a bunch of random dudes you don't know talk about a bunch of shit that probably doesn't even make sense to you, or say a bunch of things that probably aren't true, because there's always that point where we talk so much where we just start saying things and it's less factual and more opinion based, which I tried to make this not super opinion based, but talking to myself is something new to me, so I probably went on a whole bunch of tangents. But I sincerely cannot thank you guys enough for coming back consistently after all of these breaks and these disappearances on our end. It's meant a lot to a lot of us, and we will continue to make these episodes. No matter how hard things get on the outside world, or how chaotic things get, or how busy our lives get, at least one of us will be here to continue this. I guess I just want to end it like that. There is no single member. We are all Universe 7. Thank you and goodbye.